opportunity for us not today.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Money Money Quarterbacks on Saturday. On Monday night. How's it going, everyone? It's me, Big Dog. Sorry about that. The last couple of weeks have been working, and of course, on Saturday, I was ill. I'm still not feeling very well, but I want to do the show as I hadn't done it in a couple of weeks. And I just had trouble accessing Blog Talk Radio, so we're starting a little bit late, but, here we go, guys. Things have been happening, lots of things have been happening. I want to thank, of course, scorekeeper Tim, and, of course, the couch potato for filling in for me on Saturday. Of course, scorekeeper is a regular host, but Tim, McCloud, and Sonny Clark, otherwise known as Cat Potato, filled in for me on Saturday night. I do appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much. I am feeling better, still feel a little bit out of it. But as I said, I wanted to make sure the show went on today. It's probably going to be a slightly abbreviated show, but, I still wanted to make sure we went on. All right, guys, let's go ahead and hit the usual. We're going to hit the scoreboard for today. And lots of things happening. There are 13 games on tap tonight. In the American League is the Tigers over the Rangers 8-2 in the top of the ninth inning. In the top of the ninth is the Twins 4, the White Sox 1. In the bottom of the fourth, it is the Athletics beating the Mariners 1-0. In a final, it was the Yankees beating the Indians 7-1. The Blue Jays and the Red Sox has been delayed because of rain. It is 9-5. At the moment, in the middle of the seventh inning. So right now it is the top of the seventh inning. The situation is 2 runs in. Escobar is on second with 2 outs. And, of course, as I said, the current score is 9-5. And we'll see how that one. They may call that one. There is enough innings played, so they could call this game because of rain, but they're going to wait a little bit. Another final, it was the Royals beating up on the Rays 8-0. And in the senior circuit, in the bottom of the 10th, it is the Cardinals 10, the Marlins 6. They went into extra innings, of course, tied 6-6. St. Louis scored 2 in the 10th inning, and we're seeing how what's going to be going on right now. There is 2 strikes and 1 ball to Dobbs, who is batting right now, and nobody out. So there still is a chance for them. In the bottom of the 8th, it is the Padres 7, the Astros 6. In the bottom of the 8th, it is the Nationals 2, the Rockies 4. In the bottom of the 2nd, the Giants already with the commanding 6-0 lead in just of the 2nd inning. In the final, it was the Phillies beating the Pirates 8-3. It was the Reds beating the Brewers 3-1. And the Cubs, AJ will be happy with this, but Tanya won't, as the Cubs beat the Mets 6-1. Those were today's scores, guys, and now we're going to go ahead and head over to the news. And, of course, the Major League Baseball, not a lot of stuff happening, but looks like Marlon Byrd has been banned 50 games. The outfielder who admitted to working with a man who triggered the federal investigation of steroids and distribution among athletes has tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. The league announced today that the free agent received a 50-game suspension after testing positive for tamoxifen. He was put on the restricted list and will remain there until August 20th. Tamoxifen, which is a brand name in the United States, is Novodex, is a medicine that blocks the effects of estrogen hormone in the body. It is used for breast cancer in women and men and is used by steroid users to prevent growth of breast tissue in men and to stop post-cycle crashes. Byrd issued a statement through the Major League Baseball Players Association today. And this was what he said, quote, "I made an inexcusable mistake. Several years ago, I had surgery for a condition that was private and unrelated to baseball. Last winter, I suffered a recurrence of that condition, and I was provided with a medication that resulted in my positive test. Although that medication is on the banned list, I absolutely did not use it for performance enhancement reasons." Byrd, end quote. Byrd started the season with the Cubs and was dealt to the Red Sox on April 21st. He was then designated for assignment by Boston on June 9th and was released 4 days later. Red Sox general manager Ben Cherington was asked they bring him fail any drug tests while with the Boston Red Sox? And he said not to my knowledge. And of course, with Boston, there was a big trade, of course, that happened over the weekend as the Boston Red Sox traded infielder Cam Youkish to the Chicago White Sox for utility man Brent Linbridge and right-hander Zach Stewart. The American League leading Central White Sox also received cash in the deal and have been looking for a third baseman because, of course, Brent Morey has been plagued with back problems. Now, the Red Sox will absorb all but $2 million of his $7.8 million salary. So the White Sox will pay $2 million, and the Red Sox will pay the rest of the $5.8 million owed to Youkilis. Also, the O's let Miguel Tejeda go at Miguel's request. Miguel Tejeda, disappointed because he wasn't promoted to the majors, has been given a release from his minor league contract by the Baltimore Orioles. He requested the release because Baltimore informed him they didn't have space for him on their roster with them. With this, Tejeda did the same thing that countryman Vladimir Guerrero and Manny Ramirez, who asked for their releases from Toronto and Oakland, respectively. In May, Baltimore signed Tejeda to a minor league deal to evaluate him before deciding whether they need him in the majors. Tejeda worked, of course, in the team's extended spring training camp in Florida before moving to AAA, where he batted .259 with 5 doubles and 18 RBIs in 36 games, primarily as a third baseman in Norfolk in the International League. Tejeda said he agreed to sign with Baltimore on the understanding that he'd only be in the majors for a couple of weeks. So he is also out. And also, the Orioles released Jamie Moyer. Now, the Baltimore Orioles released the 49-year-old Jamie Moyer on Saturday, parting ways with the crappy left-hander at his request. Moyer started the season with Colorado, where he became the oldest pitcher to win a game in the major leagues at the age of 49. He went 2-5 before being designated for assignment by the Rockies on May 30th. Moyer subsequently signed a minor league contract with Baltimore on June 6th. The deal came with the stipulation that he would make 3 starts in AAA Norfolk, and after that, the Orioles had to either promote him or grant him his release. After his third start on Wednesday of last week, the Orioles offered Moyer another start with the Tigers, but he instead opted to become a free agent. Also, on the San Diego Padres news front, the O'Malley Group, of course, Peter O'Malley, or the O'Malleys, who, of course, used to own the Dodgers before Fox got a hold of them, the O'Malley Group is the leading candidate to buy the San Diego Padres. The San Diego Union Tribune reported on Saturday members of the group toured Petco Park with Padres majority owner John Morris on Friday. They continued negotiations on Saturday with the goal of having an agreement in place by the All-Star break. We've been asked not to comment at this time and have agreed to respect the confidentiality of the process, said Kevin O'Malley, as he told the San Diego Union Tribune. Morris' proposed sale of the team to Jeff Morin, who was a minority owner, collapsed in March after the baseball owners refused to approve Morin as controlling owner. Morin headed the group in March 2009, agreed to take gradual takeover of the Padres. At the time, the deal was estimated to be worth about $500 million. The Padres could be worth a few hundred million more, thanks, of course, to the Dodgers selling at $2 billion and the Padres' new TV deal with Fox. Morris owns 51% of the Padres, while Morad's group owns 49%. So we're waiting to see what happens on that one. It's going to be interesting to see. And we'll keep you guys, of course, abreast of all the situation that happens from that. On to other news, of course, in the NBA, as you all know, and any NBA fan who doesn't know, I guess he's been under a rock, or she's been under a rock. As you all know, the Miami Heat beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 4-1. LeBron James finally got that coveted championship that he wants. Dwayne Wade received his second title, as they won a few years ago, of course, when he was with Shaq. And also, this was Pat Riley, of course, president of the Miami Heat. And, of course, he's the person who orchestrated the Big Three coming to Miami. This signifies Riley's 8th championship. He has 1 as a player, 1 as an assistant coach, 5 as a head coach, and 1, of course, as president. So 5, 6, 7, 8 rings. So he's run the gambit, guys. You know, there isn't much more that he could do. And Riley, just as I said, you know, he's just a master tactician in getting those players to do what they need them to do. And congratulations to the Miami Heat. Congratulations to Pat Riley and the Miami Heat organization. And, you know, you guys were the better team. I picked the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the title. I was wrong. The spotlight of the finals, not just the playoffs, but the final, was, I believe, just a little bit much for the Orlando, well, I keep calling them the Orlando, the Kansas City Thunder. And then, once again, it's not Kansas City. The Orlando, damn it, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Sorry, guys. As I said, I'm still kind of out of it. My meds, I guess, are affecting me. The Oklahoma City Thunder, I think the final spotlight was a bit much for them. They were kind of caught like a deer in the headlights. And it can be expected. I mean, this was LeBron's third try for a championship. Dwayne Wade, of course, was a previous world champion, so he knew what it took. Derek Fisher of the Oklahoma City Thunder did try and calm the guys down, but, you know, Fisher might have played a little bit too many minutes. When he was on, it was great, but when he wasn't hitting shots, he was a liability to the team, unfortunately. And Harden had one of his worst playoffs. Harden, as I said, you know, maybe couldn't take the spotlight at the time. It is a learning process. You know, the old adage is, you know, you have to learn to lose before you can learn to win. Well, these guys now have learned to lose, and they got a step closer. You know, they were in the finals last year, didn't quite make it because of the Dallas Mavericks. This year they made it to the finals. They were in the Western Conference Finals last year. They made it to the finals this year, came up short. You know, the officiating was very questionable throughout the series. Of course, that game two foul that LeBron did commit on Kevin Durant, but that was never called, was a game changer. But then, of course, at the same time, they shouldn't have fallen behind 18-2. So that played a lot into it also. Game three, they could have won. Game four, you know, it was just, you know, Miami was just too much. LeBron James was just a freight train. The man was unstoppable. He did it correctly this year. He kept his mouth shut, and he let his play speak for him. Last year, of course, you know, with the whole parade that they had when they announced the big three, and, you know, he's saying they're going to win 8, 9 championships. You know, all that came back to bite them in the ass because they failed. And this year he did it the way he should have done it, which was keep his mouth shut, let his game speak for him, and be gracious at the end. And that's exactly what happened, and now he's a champion. Now, whether or not they'll be winning more, I believe they will. Now, whether they win or not again next year, that's a question. But it's going to be interesting to see now that they've gotten the taste of the championship, and they know what it takes to win one. They are most likely going to want, of course, you know, you're going to want more. Those guys are extremely competitive. The problems, though, that they had a lot of, how shall we say, they had a lot of problems during the playoffs that certain teams made apparent, and it was clear on how to beat them. But Oklahoma City did not make the adjustments needed to take care of that. Last year, Dallas did. Last year, Dallas threw all kinds of different defenses with LeBron. Whereas this year, they saw what was that LeBron was a freight train, and instead of trying to change up the defense, you know, and maybe keep Serge Ibaka down on the block to try and block a shot. Instead, they had Ibaka, you know, guarding Shane Battier at the 3-point line. Why would you have the best shot blocker in the NBA right now? He averaged over 3 blocks a game. I mean, far and above more than anybody else in the entire league. Why would you have the guy at the 3-point line? You make the adjustment, you put him back down on the block. You know, he's a defensive presence. You know, he may not block every shot, but he's going to alter it. And instead, they kept him at the 3-point line, which gave, you know, LeBron and Wade and Bosch and everyone else a clear path to the basket. And it took advantage of that. And unfortunately, Oklahoma City was outcoached in this series. And it was, you know, as I said, my hat's off to Miami. You know, I didn't pick them. They're not my favorite team. LeBron's not my favorite player. But as I said, you know, I'm a true fan. I can acknowledge when the better team won, which they did, and, you know, the players, LeBron earned the MVP of the finals. I mean, he was magnificent, and there's no other way to put it. You know, as much as I don't like the guy, I do give the respect where respect is due. And, you know, we'll see how it happens next year. As I said, you know, the bench after the big three, you know, it dropped off dramatically. The bench was not the most consistent bench all year long, but they got hot when they needed to. And that's the whole series. Now, you know, just like Dallas last year and Miami this year, they got hot at the right time. And that's the key. You know, the other team may be slightly better, but if you catch fire and your bench, you know, Shane Battier, I mean, he was incredible. I mean, he was pretty quiet all year long, and all of a sudden he played like he was back in college, you know. And Mike Miller, you know, hitting those 7 3-pointers in the final crucial game. He had hit one pretty much all playoffs. And all of a sudden he was, you know, he couldn't miss. You know, it's those type of things, those little things, what they call the 50-50 ball, which, you know, is a scrap to see who gets it. All those 50-50 balls went to Miami. Oklahoma City did not get the majority or hardly any of those type of 50-50 balls. And that's a game changer, guys. So, you know, they're both going to go back to the drawing board. And Miami really doesn't have to tweak too much, but they need to get a little bit of a stronger bench to be more consistent, because – you know, if you're banking on that bench that wasn't consistent all year long, be consistent again in the playoffs, that could come back and bite you. Now, on the flip side, Oklahoma City Thunder, they're posed to be the number one team in the Western Conference. I mean, these guys are excellent. You know, the Lakers and the Spurs and everyone else, Dallas, you know, we all have lots to catch up on. You know, this is a young team. You know, Durant is 23. Harden is 23. Durant is 23. Westbrook is 23 also, and Harden is only 22 years old, and I believe Serge Ibaka is 22 years old. This is a nucleus. This is a decade of dominance that hasn't been seen since the Bird Magic era back in '80. You know, where the Boston dominated the East and the Lakers dominated the West. Oklahoma City Thunder is one of those teams that can dominate for the next 10 years, guys. And the other teams have a lot of catching up to do. So it's going to be interesting to see the offseason. And, of course, free agency starts on July 1st. One of the big free agents, coveted free agents, of course, is Deron Williams. And Deron Williams has already said, you know, lots of quarters, lots of people there that want him. He says he's already made his decision, and that he is either going to stay with the Brooklyn Nets. Remember, they moved to New Jersey, so they are now the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are his choice. If not the Brooklyn Nets, then he says he wants to go back to Dallas. Those are his only two choices. He said the Lakers, Portland. Let's see if I have they want to see the Phoenix Suns, Portland Trail Blazers, Houston Rockets, and the Lakers are all coveting Deron Williams. Deron Williams says no. The only place he wants to be, if he does not stay with the Brooklyn Nets, is to go back to Dallas. Now, the most the Dallas Mavericks can sign Mark Cuban is a $75 million contract, I believe. And the thing is, since he is a free agent and the Nets are his team, and he's been there for 2 years, the Nets can offer him an extra year and almost another $20 million. So they can pretty much offer him a 5-year, almost $100 million contract. So, you know, but the thing is, Deron Williams wants to win now. He says he doesn't care to be in a rebuilding process. He says, I'm 28, almost 29 years old. I've been playing for a while. I want to win a championship. So with that being said, does he feel that the Nets, who can offer more money, are a championship contender? Now, of course, the owner, Mikhail Prokhorov, well, the Russian billionaire, of course, has made promises that they're going to be trying to get Dwight Howard. Now, the thing is, of course, Dwight Howard's not there yet. So does Deron Williams re-sign with them in the hope that they're going to be bringing another superstar to make the Nets a championship contender, as they were a couple of years ago when Jason Kidd was there and took them to two straight finals? Or does he go back with, or does he go to the Dallas Mavericks, which, of course, has a pretty good nucleus right now, and having Deron Williams back in that mix probably instantly puts them on the championship map once again. We've talked about this over and over again about the Dallas Mavericks, that Mark Cuban, we all feel that he did the wrong thing by telling everybody, I'm only giving you 1 year contracts. I'm saving my money for the free agency next season, which would be this offseason now. So he pretty much told his team, you know what, guys, I know we lost Tyson Chandler, J.J. Barrera. You know, we traded for, of course, Lamar Odom, and that was a bust. You know, they lost a lot of core people. And he was pretty much saying, well, we're not going to spend any money this year. Make do with what you got. I know we're not going to win the title again. We're going to go for it next year. I think that was the wrong thing to say to the team, and that was always in the back of the entire team's mind, saying, hey, he knows we're not going to win the title. You know, so we know. And, you know, it was just interesting the way he did that. Let's see, I don't have a caller. Good evening, Salt. How are you?
How are you, Big Dog?
I'm feeling better. Been a little bit under the weather over the weekend. Yeah, I actually missed the Saturday show. I haven't done that in a long time.
Great wrap up on the NBA season. I think you've done a very good job with all the information. So, congratulations to that.
Thank you very much. How are your Pirates doing? I haven't really looked. In fact, I'm going to look right now.
Pirates are doing well. I believe they're 2 games out of first place.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are 38-44, and 2 games behind Cincinnati. Not bad. Let's see. I had the scores up 1 second. Let me put them back up again. Marlins, Padres, Astros, Rockies, Giants. They lost to Philly 8-3.
Ah, okay. The Phillies are always a tough team.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the Pirates? I mean, you know, last year they were doing very well, and then when the All-Star game hit, they kind of collapsed. Do you see that happening again, or do you think they've learned from their mistakes and hopefully we'll keep it up, or what do you see?
I'm going to say what I said last year. If we make a good trade, we'll be fine. If we don't, we will not. And like we did not make a good trade. We traded with the Orioles and with the Padres to get Ryan Ludwig and Derek Lee, and they didn't want to be here. They even said that before the trade happened, and they didn't play for us, and neither of them wanted to re-sign with us. So if we get a good trade, and we can get some more bats, more people with power, I think we'll be a set for the race in October. But what does that mean?
So you feel you guys need a little bit more power in the lineup right now? That's going to be a major concern?
Yeah, because right now, as of June 13th, when I was at the Pirates and Orioles game, Tony McCutchen was hitting over 300. Everybody else was in the low 200s or 100s, and you can't have that as a team. I'm surprised that we're only 2 games out.
It's kind of tough. You don't have a lot of hitting, you know. If you only have one guy hitting 300, I mean, it's kind of tough to be a contender to if you don't have that type of hitting. Yeah.
We just have too many busts. Right now, you know, Alvarez, he's was a first-round pick. He's not doing well. He's doing better. I would like to see some more power hitting from him, but he hasn't done well. And none of our starting pitching that we've invested over the last 5 years have really come up. Brad Lincoln hasn't done well. Daniel McCoss hasn't done well. They're both Brad Lincoln's in the majors, but Daniel McCoss is in AAA still. I see all these other people falling up, everybody, and we're not.
Yeah, it looks like your main guy, of course, is Andrew McCutcheon. He's pretty much leading the team in everything. Batting average, home runs, RBIs, on base percentage, and hits. And you're right. I'm looking at the roster, the stats right now. He's batting .339, and then Neil Walker is the next best hitter at .259, almost 100 points less. That's not good.
and you can look at the home runs. I mean, I believe McCutcheon is the only one in the double digits. Maybe Alvarez finally made it, but.
Alvarez has got 13 along with McCutcheon.
Okay.
But everybody else is single. It looks like Garrett Jones has got 9. That's the next closest guy. So Neil Walker's got 13 also. So McCutcheon, Walker, and I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm sorry. McCutcheon's got 13, and Alvarez has got 13, and Garrett Jones has got 9, and everybody else is in the 4s and 5s.
That's just terrible to me. We need a shortstop and we need a first baseman. I like Alvarez. We need a catcher. I mean, a catcher is terrible. We haven't had a good catcher since Jason Kendall. So
yeah. Wow. Well, hopefully you guys will make some good trades. Or at least one major trade, before the trade deadline, and bolster you guys up so you guys can make a nice run. Because as I said, last year we talked about it and stuff. I would like to see the Pirates, in the playoffs. It's been so long, I used to see them years ago, it's too bad that they fell on hard times for so long, but it would be great to see them back, even just in title contention, in say September and still be in it. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing great. Even if we don't make the playoffs, I would just like a winning year. I mean, we haven't had a 500 year in 20 years. I mean, we haven't
You were so close last year. You were heading towards it, and it just kind of fell apart at the end.
Yeah, that's how it is. The good trade that we did make in the offseason was with the Yankees to get AJ Burnett, and he's been lights out. He's I believe he's 7-2 right now with a pretty low ERA, so he's back to normal. So, he's old too. He's in his mid 30s, so he won't be there for long.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully he can get you some wins. Some good wins, quality wins this year and next year, and we'll have to go from there. It looks like we're running a little bit over, which is still fine. But I want to thank you all for joining me today. It's good to be back. I'm gonna try and keep on a regular schedule. As long as work doesn't call me at night, I'll be back here on Monday nights, and I will be back on Saturday morning, guys. So please join me on Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
I'll try to.
Talk with the guy. Yeah, it'd be great. We haven't seen you there in a while. You can join the regular crew that we have. But thanks for joining me again, Salt, and have a nice evening, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. God bless. Have a good one.
Bye. You too. Take care. Bye. All right, guys. That'll be it for tonight's show. And as I said, join me on Saturday evening along with Scorekeeper for Sports Talk with the guys, Home of the Money Quarterbacks, on Saturday morning as we give you 2 hours of sports talk, of course, followed hopefully by the Couch Potato if he's not doing a playoff game. And he'll give you the other 2 hours for the only 4-hour block of sports talk on Blog Talk Radio. Guys, we do it, and we do good. Give us a listen, guys. We'll talk to you soon, all right? Take care, have a great week, and enjoy your sports.